The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Chibo app. 104.7 Triple M.
It's 104.7 Triple M, 610 Ruined It's. They are off for 2016. You've got saggy bum John Riddell and the very fine-looking Snowman.
What are you talking about?
Top of 30 today. Sunny too, John. 13 degrees it is at the moment. Bang, bang.
Beautiful day. Yeah, high drama last night. Big incident for police. This started in Cumberland Park. There was an altercation between a 26-year-old man and a 23-year-old woman. There was also allegedly another male involved, and talk of in the early stages there was a fire involved. That turned out to be a vital part of this. Also, it involved a 3-year-old girl and a 7-month-old boy. They were both in the car that started off on a car chase with police from Cumberland Park through Plimpton. Anyway, it ended up going down the mall. And it finally stopped the car through the mall. The tyres were spiked some distance away, yeah. And the car kept going. Ended up, it all came to an end in Hindley Street, where police shot the 26-year-old man. One single shot, not life-threatening, and was taken to hospital. But the woman suffered some injuries as well. The children were okay, but what a hell of an event. Started at 9 o'clock last night and concluded around 11:30 p.m. with the man at the centre of this. We don't know what it's about. It started as an argument, an altercation between the woman and the man at Cumberland Park. Went all over the western suburbs and Grand Junction Road, South Road, and ended up coming to a head, as I said, in Rundle Mall and then finally in Hindley Street.
Wow.
So he's in hospital, and we'll have more from that. We'll get someone who's down at the scene to talk to us shortly, I reckon.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that is remarkable. And the fact that it's not life-threatening, but it ended the drama, and the kids are okay, which is the main thing.
Absolutely.
Mm.
For 18 years, Johnny Boy, and now we've romanced, the end is we've looked forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Easter.
We've smiled.
No, that's longer than 18 years.
Because we all wanted to be there. Eclipse of 500.
Oh, yes.
And it's been revealed that after 18 years of sponsorship, 2017 will be the last time that the Eclipse of 500 bears the name of Eclipse.
You know, it is just referred to as
the Eclipse of 500. That's it.
You going to Eclipse?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to Eclipse.
Yep. Yeah. That's it.
How was Eclipse? Oh, it was great.
Eclipse by Snyder Electrical, they've been the major sponsor since the event started in 2000. And, of course, Snyder Electrical took over Eclipse from the family, the Gerard family.
Mm.
Now, the advertisement in today's paper understands negotiations are in progress with the service station chain On The Run, or now known as OTR. So they're rebranding right throughout South Australia.
The OTR 500.
I love it.
Mm.
I mean, and look, first of all, we've got to, this is always going to be inevitable. There's no way that Eclipse will or would go on for years and years and years.
Well, 18's a fair.
That is a massive contribution from a naming rights sponsorship
point of
view. And
typically to the previous owners who are so South Australian.
Absolutely.
That jumped in. We lost the Grand Prix.
Yep.
People were walking around with their heads down. Well, what do we do now?
Yep.
Along came Eclipse. I think it's a better event.
Eclipse will deserve a round of applause.
Oh, it's been a brilliant thing. It's won every award
that
possibly can a win.
Mm.
It beats the other races around other cities. They reckon the Gold Coast is not too bad because of the balcony activity.
Yes. But that's calmed down now,
that's
too.
Calmed down too. They put clothes back on. look, it has just been a sensational. And you're absolutely right. You'd look forward to going. If you didn't do the 4 days, just to go down there for one day.
Oh.
And take it in and watch the race. Mm. Oh, and then the entertainment. Have a look at the acts that came to Adelaide.
We've had Kiss, Keith Urban. We've had
Cold Chisel. Yeah,
absolutely. And we've had internationally, Santana has been there. Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
It's been huge. But if it is the case that OTR do take over, you couldn't think of a better company to do so. Now, Mark Warren, he was the former chief exec of the Eclipse 500.
Yep.
He resigned back in May. He's now with the Peregrine Organisation.
There's connection.
That's the company that owns OTR.
But Snowman, what they'll do, they'll have to do then, the cars will only be able to do a kilometre at a time.
And then fill
and
up
an OTR. And then be an OTR on the,
absolutely.
Right on the hairpin.
Yes.
One on the chicane.
Yes, absolutely.
And on the big rounding, the round corner back into the straight, there'd be another one there.
And you don't want to get stuck behind someone getting a cup of coffee while you've got to pay for your fuel.
Oh, yeah.
You're stuffed.
I'll just pump
you'll be
the
laps down.
Yeah. Just do the windscreen.
If it is the Shaheen family, we can only hope so, because they are such proud South Australians and would love nothing more, I'm sure, to be behind the Clipsal 500. So we are so fortunate.
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Oh, we are so fortunate to have a family and a company like that, that big, that could afford to do it. So fingers crossed it'll be the OTR 500.
There's another link to the motor park they're putting together at it.
Which is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
We might get Sam on and see if we can have a chat that tomorrow.
Or Yasser. Sam or Yasser, one of the two.
Mm.
They're both very quiet men. Mm. Very quiet men. Done. Just I'll leave that with you.
Just go about their business, don't they?
Or leave it up to you to get Sam. Right. Hey, just quickly, of course you said yesterday to KG Cunningham, the advertiser with Crows front and back today, but for good reason.
Yes.
On the pages, because who's going to Crows Land, John?
Young Benny Jarman. Gee, that's it's a great thing for the Adelaide Footy Club to do
it
that.
Is.
One of their absolute superstars, grand final specialist, a legend of the game, and to have his son, you know, imagine if he... You know, everyone would be happy to go wherever they get chosen because they want to play AFL footy. But imagine if he'd gone, you know, to Sydney or Gold Coast or, you know, and he should be here playing in the same Guernsey, hopefully gets the same number as Dad. It's just the right thing to happen. Like with Russell Ebert and Brad Ebert back in 2002.
Do you know what I think is going to be such a surprise package with young Ben Jarman? And after spending a lot of time, which we both have, with Andrew, the football brain this kid will have will be second to none with so many of the guys that have been getting around for the last 4 or 5 years on the field. He will outdo them just with his football smarts. He will be phenomenal. I reckon it's a massive get. Massive.
Well, he's got Dad and Uncle Andrew looking after him and guiding his football,
and
I would imagine.
They'll help keep his weight down because both of them eat that much. They'll eat him out of home, so he doesn't have to worry.
He's looking in great shape, the Benny.
He is.
Terrific news And the German clan, very, very happy that he's staying here in Adelaide playing for the Crows.
That's it.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Thanks to Chibo. We're here. Order the new Chibo app for your chance to win a Ferrari 360 Spider.
A massive incident overnight ended up in, it came to a conclusion in Hindley Street. This was an incident that started back in Cumberland Park. A 26-year-old man was shot by police. This involved car chase and kids at risk and all this sort of thing. Let's talk now to Channel 7's Peter Caldicott, who's across this story this morning for us. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Mate, walk us through what happened in this horrible incident last night that started at Cumberland Park.
Well, it all started when a father allegedly abducted his 23-year-old partner and their 3-year-old girl and 7-month-old baby boy at Cumberland Park. Now, two witnesses who tried to help the woman were threatened with a firearm, and then the man drove off with the woman and their two kids. Now, it took police about an hour to identify the vehicle and to track it down, and then they went on this wild chase right across town. It lasted more than an hour and a half. They had poly following from the air. It went all the way down to Port Adelaide. Police actually deployed road spikes at the intersection of Grand Junction and South Roads. Then the chase went back into the city, and the guy actually drove down Rundle Mall, then was looping around back onto North Terrace and then up to Hindley Street, where it all sort of came to an end. Star Group officers saw the chance to actually stop the vehicle, and so they rammed it from behind. They jumped out, and as they approached this guy in the car, He allegedly threatened his 3-year-old daughter with a firearm.
Goodness me.
Now at that point, police shot the 26-year-old man, and then the woman and her two children were dragged to safety. So it was a horrific scene, and unfolded right here. I'm still in Hindley Street, where they've only just cleared the crime scene. Right outside the wool shed, that's where the whole thing unfolded, and people were just stunned watching this whole domestic violence, really, event unfold right in front of their eyes.
Pete, we've been watching the pictures on 7, of course, this morning, and they are amazing. You see the whole rescue. You know, see the kids coming out of the car. Frightening scene down there very early hours of this morning. Or last night, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. And you even hear the gunshot go off. You know, people were standing around and police surrounded this car. Police came from every direction. They went up to the vehicle, I believe, smashed the windscreen or smashed the window, and then confronted this guy. And police say they had no other choice but to take a shot at this guy who was armed and was threatening his child. And then they were able to drag the woman and her kids to safety, and thank goodness that they're okay.
Horrendous.
Is this a custody battle that's going on, or is it just a very fractured relationship, we're sure yet?
Look, we don't know details of the relationship or what went wrong or what sparked the whole drama. But, yeah, police say it was an abduction and that they treated very seriously when they became aware that a gun was involved, and they chased the car and, came down to Hindley Street where the whole thing unfolded.
Mate, the 26-year-old man who was shot by police, it's being described to us as a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. Is that still what you're hearing?
That's right. He's in hospital being treated, and I'm sure he'll be interviewed and will be charged with various offences later on. And the woman, I believe, has gone to the Women's and Children's with her kids, and hopefully she'll be okay. But, you just wonder what sort of lasting impression something like this would have on her and her children.
Yeah, absolutely. And well done to the police too, Peter. Amazing job. Got everyone out. Everyone's okay. And even the guy at the centre of this, or allegedly the front of this, the centre of this, has he's got a gunshot, but it's not life-threatening.
Oh, it's great work by the police.
Absolutely.
And when you consider what could have happened, if things went the other way, what could have happened? It could have been a lot worse, and they should be praised for their actions.
Peter Cordicott, thanks for your time. We'll look forward to your report tonight on 7 News, 6 o'clock.
Triple M. John, I noticed with interest that one of the great leaders of the world, Kim Jong-un.
Oh, not Donald Trump.
No, but no. Kim Jong-un, he's up there with him.
They're mates.
Up there, close. They go to the same
they
hairdresser.
They could end up being mates.
You never
they?
Know. Yeah. Would that not surprise you?
Similar haircut.
Kim Jong-un. Has ordered his top boffins to develop a sex potion for the benefit of North Korean men who are let down between the sheets. Now, he's come up with a couple of different...
Maybe it's him. Maybe he's having the problem.
Oh, no one would ever tell you.
Not over there.
Not over there. Oh, no, he best.
I can't believe
he magical lover.
Speaking from experience.
Exactly. Now, he wants to come up with a tonic that also comes in English.
Yep.
So there's instructions for the Western world.
Yep.
Well, it's a tonic that has a good effect on physical and mental fatigue, sexual dysfunction, poor appetite, and diarrhea.
another thing
he wants to do is he wants a liquid derivative from snake extract that helps men keep their mojo in the bedroom. And a third potion he's come up with is made by soaking mushrooms in alcohol and claims to have a fatigue-recovering, sexual function-enhancing effect.
Is he going global with this? Is this his plan?
Well, you never know. You never know. KimJongUn.com, you never know. He could have a whole pharmaceutical range of sorts.
Does it help you get a do like his if you take this stuff? That's one head of hair.
It is, isn't it? It's quite unusual. I think it's the most popular haircut, though, in Korea.
What do you ask for? The ung?
The ung.
I'm coming in for an ung.
Hello, ung, ung. That's what you get. I'd be interested to know on 133353.
I thought you might be.
Have you developed your own elixir that helps you get going?
Keep on the job.
Absolutely. If Kim Jong-un can come up with one, have you come up with one too?
And his is involving snake.
Lots of things.
Snake oil?
Lots of things. Yeah. Lots of things. He's got one. His favourite one is the potion that's made from sea urchins.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's an old recipe. You get the rolling pin.
Yes,
on
oh,
the sea urchin
me.
And you
roll it out.
Roll it out. Get the oil that
the juice
is passed
in the urchin.
From the urchin. Yeah. Yeah, urchin oil.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, been around for years.
You could be a Kim Jong-un.
His distant cousin. I think we'd love to know if you have a special elixir that gives you a lift in the bedroom department.
Or do you have an elixir of your own that helps cures many things?
A cure-all.
Have you?
A cure-all.
There you go.
Well.
133353, you could win tickets to go along to the movies thanks to Wallace Cinemas. If you've got an elixir of some sort, might help you in the bedroom.
Potent.
Have you got a potion? Are you a potion person? Have you developed a potion that could help save the world and make you millions? We want to know about it.
Or do you have a regime of vitamins? Do you take A, B, C, D, and E because, that makes
it keeps you healthy and fit?
Or have you found something at the chemist that gives you a bit of a lift?
1-333-53-651 it is at 104.7.
Wouldn't mind finding out myself.
I thought you'd say, I don't think we're going to get any calls. I'm just putting that out there. I don't think anyone's going to call us.
You don't think?
No, I don't think anyone.
Oh, there's some interesting cats out there in Adelaide.
What
don't
have you made in
that.
The shed?
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
JR and Snowy filling in for Ruined It's. The boys off in 2017. Mm-hmm. They will be back, of course. I think it's around about March next year. We're not too sure. Hey, 1-333-53, we want to know this morning, have you developed your own elixir of sorts? Kim Jong-un has ordered his top boffins to develop a sex potion, John, for the benefit.
Are they the same people that made a nuclear weapon for
They are the same ones. Okay, yeah. Good. They can get anything upright.
Yeah.
It's for the benefit of North Korean men who are let down between the sheets. Now, he's got a couple of different types of elixirs he's developing. One is with a sea urchin that's meant to be a very good tonic, and it helps with the physical and mental fatigue that you suffer, also sexual dysfunction, poor appetite and diarrhea. Yep. So it blocks you.
Will he bring out an aftershave as well?
You know, you never know.
Full range of men's products.
That's it. Well, we want to know on 1-333-53. Have you developed an elixir of sorts and what for? Dave of Glenelg, good morning. How are you, Dave?
How are you, boys?
All right, good. What have you come up with?
Well, I've come up with cow pats for chapped lips and cold sores.
Hang on. You whack basically a cow poo on your lips.
Oh, pieces of it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Nothing wrong there.
No, it's all natural and organic, and the thing is that it won't get rid of the cold sores or chapped lips, or it'll stop you from licking them.
Oh, zinger.
Hey,
well done.
You're off to the movies.
Well done.
Paul of the Lunga Downs, good morning.
Hey, morning, gentlemen. I've got two for you this morning.
Please.
Go on.
One of them, the best one, is from my missus. I call her the witch doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Apple cider vinegar.
And what do you do with that?
Well, you drink it. It cures everything from heartburn to kidney stones, whatever you need.
Yep.
Right. What, do you drink it straight, Paul, or do you mix it with something?
Well, she makes me drink it straight. Lucky I've got a strong stomach.
What's the taste of the apple cider vinegar?
Let me just say, it's not all that pleasant.
But you reckon it does actually help?
Well, it cured my kidney stones. It dissolved it. I had the pain from the kidney to the bladder, but not the pain from the bladder to the other end.
Wow.
The old man used to make us do that, Paul. He would, if we were at a crook stomach, he would give us a shot of vinegar, and you'd have a couple of those, not too much.
Quite an old one.
Yeah, always worked.
What else you got? You got another one.
And I've got the other one is Bongella. You'd be familiar with that, Snowy?
Yep, for the kids?
No, for the man. Desensitising.
Oh, you used to put it on the kids' gums when they're having their teeth coming through.
Put it down the other end and it desensitises.
Oh, on your feet when you're running. Yeah, okay.
Are you saying...
Your old fella, it desensitises.
Why do I want to desensitise it? I want the sensitising.
Mate, you last longer, Snowy, so you're premature,
It stops you.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I told a mate about it, and I asked him later, how did you go? And he said, well, all she got was a numb mouth.
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
You better,
the family's on fire this morning,
you better
aren't
send
they?
Paul to a family movie.
I didn't see that coming. 6:59.
104.7 Triple M.
JR, that's John Riddell and Snowy filling in for Ruined It's. The boys back in 2017, taking a bit of a well-earned rest. Of course, Rue just at home with the kids. The kids are very happy to see Dad there, all six of them. Very, very happy. Sarah is very, very happy too. The Oakbank pub, very surprised that Ditz is there already.
Often before opening
time. Yeah, quite early. Mm. Quite early.
Well, he's used to getting up early.
He loves my pub, the Oakbank pub.
Oh, you're a regular.
I'm a regular there at the Oakbank pub, and he loves it.
You
absolutely
can walk there, can't you?
Yep, 900 metres away. And it's about 1.8 k's back.
You've counted, that's right. You counted them on the way there, but you can't count them on the way back.
When a pub puts in Budweiser in the fridge...
Oh, King of Beers.
Yeah, thank you very much. The King of Beers is there. And there's pizza night. Though. You need to come up on Friday night. Hey, pizza night.
Pizza night.
It's a dollar an inch.
If you take
it's a dollar an inch.
You get a mile? Just about. That old saying?
Yep. You got to come up Friday night.
All right.
You need to come and do it. You and the bride.
Well, can we do the show live from there on a Monday morning?
Let's do that.
And stay for the weekend.
I'm happy to do that. Mm. Top of 30 today, 16 degrees it is at the moment. One very happy little mini fud, you could call him. He is a happy man. Ben Jarman last night, John.
Off to the Crows. Dad could not be happier. And I think it's great. I mean, it's fitting, isn't it? Andrew, well, both the Jarmans, but Darren was a superstar of the game. Mm. There's his son coming along nicely. It would be a shame to see him go off to Gold Coast or Sydney or Western Australia.
How's Andrew going to feel about being the third best Jarman at the club?
Oh, he knows that.
He knows that.
Yeah, he knows that. We've talked about it. Okay. He's okay.
He's all right.
But he was on the show last night with Jars and Louis, and he's got to work up to the interview thing. He's not as good as his uncle and his dad at this stage, but absolutely thrilled to go to the Crows.
Yeah, going into the night, sort of obviously like any other kid, wanted to get picked up, but that night found out the Crows were going to pick me up in the rookie draft. So it was, very exciting after I heard that news, and here I am today.
Very smart young man, so he's already identified what he's got to do and what his weaknesses are.
I think the biggest areas for me is my fitness. It's probably not up to standard yet, so yeah. Getting into an AFL environment will definitely help me with that. Mostly fitness and strength are areas I see myself needing to improve on over the next few weeks and in pre-season especially.
And already committing to the club, and you know, he said, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
No, I'll commit to the Crows. It's a pretty full-on training 5 or 6 times a week. So, it's very full-on, and there's some long days, so it's long hours I need to put in to get where I want to be. And so it should be a very tough pre-season.
And it was only a matter of time, wasn't it, before Jars and Louis came up with a nickname for the young Crow.
BJ, I've taken the liberties of giving you a new nickname. Obviously, you run with tickets with Uncle Gift here, but I've labelled you Backdoor Benny because you come in via the rookie draft.
Well, what is it again, sorry?
Backdoor Benny.
You just slid out through the back door.
Named after the great Backdoor Benny Elias, a great hooker for Balmain.
Yeah, he was a great.
I'll take it as long as Andrew takes Uncle Gift.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Love it, love it.
Hey, last great night, too, great bit on 7 years last night.
With the two boys, yeah.
Yeah, with Ben and Dad, Darren. Not a bad one-liner from Daz.
I've watched it a few times.
Has anyone got a new copy? Mine's a bit worn out.
Referring to the copy of the tape of the grand final when he booted a stack of goals. And
98.
Dominated.
He
absolutely
did.
Absolutely dominated.
Well done, young Ben Jarman.
The dynasty continues.
It does. Yeah. The Rush Hour back this afternoon from 4 with Jars and Louis.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Tuesday morning, John Riddell from 7 News and Stowie filling in for Roo and Dits. The boys back in 2017. We're here this morning thanks to the new Chibo app for your chance to win a Ferrari 360 Spider. Just order your coffee via the Chibo app, pre-order it, and that beast could be yours. John?
Hey, our man in Canberra, Nick Xenophon, in a bit of a bun fight over a lot of things, but one of the key ones, the key fronts is the River Murray, and the other states not wanting to let the water come down to make it into a river. Because a river starts up there and it flows all the way down the end, and that's what a river is. But it's all combined with a lot of other things, but it's been quite heated in Canberra with all these issues that are interlinked on the river issue. And in fact... Nick Xenophon has been called a terrorist.
How dare they?
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Are you a terrorist?
No, I'm just a naughty boy sometimes.
Well, it's got pretty willing over there, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. One of the Nationals MP called me a terrorist and I had to respond to the Courier Mail in Brisbane because he's a Queensland-based MP. And I just said, look, I want to build bridges, not burn them, but I want to make sure there's plenty of water going under that bridge.
Oh, I like it.
Nick, this has been going on for, since the states have been formed, the fight over the River Murray and the water that comes down it. As I just said, to me, a river is it starts at the source and it runs to the sea. That's a river, isn't it? So water must travel down to make it a river and keep it healthy. I mean, if you start stealing water and pinching water and diverting it away, it's not much of a river.
Exactly. And great river systems die from the mouth up. And you need to flush out the salt, the toxins in a river system to keep the entire river system healthy. It's pretty heated. I've just got off the phone to Jay Weatherill, to our Premier, and I've been working with him. I expect that I'll be meeting with the Prime Minister later this morning. But all we want is just what was agreed a few years ago and for people to stick to the plan. And that plan was hard fought over a number of years. And, you know, so when I'm accused of holding the government to ransom, well, if that's the case, the government is the one that's written. If the government's the hostage, then they've written their own ransom note.
So be it. I mean, this is crucial for us to have this water coming down, because we saw 6-7 years ago, as the drought took hold and the river just shrank, especially down the bottom end at Goor. It was just hideous to see it. It nearly did the town of Goor in, because that was the attraction, to come down and be on the water, the end of the river, and see water going out through the mouth and all that sort of thing. And these nitwits interstate, Nick, have had their hands out to pinch water for so long, and we've changed our watering systems in the main, and some of these people interstate have still got the old lift up the gate and let it flow.
Look, a mate of mine, Jim, who drove past Hay and Hay Plain just on Friday, reported back to me that they're using open channels for rice paddies. Yeah. Open channels, not lined, not piped, lots of evaporation, lots of water wastage to grow rice, and that doesn't make sense to me.
Yet a lot of the wineries up through the Riverland have gone to computer-driven watering, where each vine will get, you know, a number of drops a day. And these guys are just pulling up the sluice gates and
just
going,
letting it in.
Flood irrigation. I mean, that's from the 1800s, for crying out loud.
It is, and it's, what did Mark Twain once say? You know, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over.
That's right. And you're doing that. You're doing a good job, Nick. And don't forget, some years ago when that drought was on, Bob Catter flew down with a group of people and he flew over Lake Alexandrina, which is a massive lake, and Lake Albert, and said something like, well, you know, these people down here in South Australia, they've got these man-made lakes. What were the Egyptians here? It's 649 square kilometres, Lake Alexandrina. How did we make that?
Yeah. I'm very fond of Bob, but he also said that there were no gays in his electorate. So there you go.
Well,
I think he wears that hat a bit too tight
on his head.
I was going to say, Nick, I mean, when it comes to MPs out of Brisbane, you know, they're famous for being, well, idiots half the time. You know, you look at Bob, was it Joe Bjorke-Petersen? Wasn't the smartest man. Clive Palmer, hello, say no more. There's a few others that we won't mention. I mean, what are they trying to achieve, or are they just after an argument and they're trying not to achieve anything?
You know what? I'm not going to say anything inflammatory right now, because the negotiations are pretty delicate. And I'm going to see the PM a bit later. We're trying to get this balancing act, because the fact is they've got a lot of political clout. I just want a fair deal, and people should be able to live with it. I think people understand that a healthy river system is good for the whole country, not just for South Australia.
Exactly. Well, Snow and I have just been on the river for the Nevada Mighty River Run, and it is full and it is flowing. Mm. The creeks have been flushed out. All the salt's gone from there. All the rubbish and the litter, the tree litter's come out of there. It's a really, although it's brown, it is a healthy-looking river, because it's now stretched out into the back blocks, and all those trees that haven't had a drink for years are getting the water that they need. And that's what rivers do.
Yeah, and the reason why we need to stick to the plan is that when the next drought comes, we've got to be ready for it, and we've got to be prepared and to drought-proof our river as much as possible.
Yeah, good on you, mate.
All the best, Nick.
Batting for South Australia. Well done.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Tuesday morning, beautiful one it is too. Top of 30, 20 at the moment. It's 104.7 Triple M. JR and Snowy filling in for Rue and Dits. The boys are back in 2017 thanks to Chibo, the new app where you've got a chance to order your coffee and then possibly win a brand new Ferrari, a Ferrari 360 Spider.
Beautiful. Days like today, 30 degrees, blue sky. Yep. I just get the feeling. I just like to go out and wrestle a croc.
Would you?
As soon as I finish the show.
That's what you want to go and do.
Straight down to the Patawalunga.
Yeah.
Or the Torrens.
Mate, the only croc that you would wrestle is the pair that you wear. That's about the only croc.
The green ones.
Hey, they are a beautiful, majestic animal. And tonight on Nine Go at 7:30, it premieres the new show, Outback Wrangler, with the one and only Matt Ryder joins us this morning. How are you, Matt?
Good, thanks, guys. How are you guys going?
Mate, very well indeed. Hey, Matt, I've seen snippets of this show. I've seen you on 60 Minutes with the younger of the Stefanovics hanging out with you.
Pete
caught up with you. And, mate, it's incredible. I mean, you do what I'm sure so many blokes would love to do, is scoot around in a chopper, see a big bloody croc, wrestle it and take it home or release it somewhere. You've just got the dream life, haven't you?
I don't know about that.
You're forgetting one thing.
What's that?
Danger.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is a pretty good life now. You know, we've made it what it is, and with just the experience through growing up and different jobs that I've had has sort of put me in a position now where we catch and relocate a lot of different crocs, you know.
How did you get into this gig in the first place, Matt?
I think it was just in my blood as a kid, you know. I started catching brown snakes when I was about 6 years old. And
sorry?
Drove the old girl crazy.
Did you do any show and tell at school?
Yeah, I did. I chased a few of the teachers out of the classroom as well. It was a good adult deterrent. It just grew. I loved the adventure. I loved the different areas that we get to and the wildlife that goes with it. So with that, if I stayed in South Australia, I probably would have ended up in jail. So I had to get out of it pretty quick. Just get out to the wide open spaces, you know. I started up here on cattle stations and worked my way up to flying choppers and, you know, being out catching bulls and breaking in horses and brumbies. And one of my first jobs as a pilot was collecting crocodile eggs and then catching crocs and removing them on one of the cattle stations. So, you know, and I loved it. There's no other pilots that really wanted to dive in and have a crack at it. And I put my hand up straight away.
Mate, have you come close to where you've been in front of a 4 or 5 metre croc and you've thought, no, I'm about to meet the maker here. This thing's going to get me. I'm cornered.
Oh, it's not so much the big ones. It's the smaller females, usually around wet season time when we're out collecting crocodile eggs. You know, that's you come into a nest and they come roaring out and sort of have a crack at you, you know. Being in the water with a couple there chewing on the stick and the crate, and it does put the wind up you, but you sort of need a scare every now and then just to make sure you stay on your toes.
Hey Matt, we read and hear from time to time, particularly around Darwin, you know, right in the city area, that crocs are turning up in pools and on lawns and beaches and that sort of thing. Is that still happening, or have they got on top of that?
Yeah, it is, but you know, at the end of the day, they're not a 4 metre croc coming into your backyard. It's usually a, you know, maybe a 2 to 3 foot croc that might be just moving from a creek to a dam, or just, you know, wet season we get a lot of water up here and it's quite easy for them to scoot around through the drains, but it's no different than a big goanna running around, you know. So, but the word crocodile starts scaring everyone, so that's the problem. But it's only when they get up around the 10 foot onwards is that they become quite life-threatening, you know. A 6 foot will take your dog or something, but you know, it's everyone sort of overreacts pretty quick once they hear about a crocodile coming onto their backyard or into their pool.
So are we overreacting when it comes to the culling of the crocs? Because there has been talk as of late. I mean, not that it affects us here in Adelaide, but, you know, there's talk of that possibly being remooted again. Is it worth it at all or not?
It's ridiculous. Like, you know, it's a simple solution for the government to put in place to put someone in charge to go and start shooting crocs, you know. It's not a management program. It's not a solution. You know, they need to get a team over there. You're talking about up in Cairns, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, they need to get a management program there and a team together and keep funding that every year and make that a position for people to manage and relocate crocs to farms and parks and wherever they need to go. You know, we do it up here in the Territory. We've got a great croc team with Tommy Nichols and the Parks and Wildlife team here, and they seem to train a lot of people around Australia to catch and relocate crocs, and that sort of needs to be the same front over there, you know, and same with the egg collecting. You know, it's we're out there, I think our quota is up around 60,000, 70,000 eggs a year that we can collect here, but we only collect maybe 50. Not only is it a balance in the, you know, it keeps a balance in the crocodile population, but it's also great research knowing how many crocs we actually have in the wild. You know, we use all that data back in town here.
Mate, just quickly tonight, Outback Wrangler and Nine Go at 7:30. The new croc catching tool. John's method, he thought back in the day, was a stick of dynamite. I'm not too sure about that. But what's this new tool? How do you, what is it?
You got me stumped. What are we talking about here? Is this the harpoon you're talking
about?
Yeah, the
harpoon.
The harpoon.
Okay, no, well, it's been around for a while, but definitely I don't like the word harpoon.
No.
You know, you're thinking of the, you know, the
Moby
big
Dick.
Ship there with a big bloody harpoon that hits a whale. But no, it's just a pole with a couple of prongs in it and it sticks in under the skin. And, you know, it's been a method that's been used for years. And it's very efficient. And we usually use it at night time to get up on the crocs. And we actually got about an 18-footer with one the other day. It was, it was pretty on. We're in a 12-foot tinny pulling up this monster next to us.
Sorry, you're in a 12-foot tinny pulling up an 18-foot croc.
Yeah, it's, well, we canned it for the night, so we put a few floats on him for the night and said we'll come back in the day and do it the day. So.
And the great line from Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Hey, Matt, great to chat to you, mate. Really appreciate your time. Outback Wrangler, it's on tonight on 9 Go at 7:30, as opposed to my new show that's coming out called The Oatbank Wrangler. That's where I wrestle Budweiser stubbies in the front bar, mate.
No, we're under the Great Northerns up here too.
Good on you, mate. Love your work. Hey, good on you, champion.
The Ruined It's for Breakfast catch-up sounds better with a coffee. Save time and pre-order your coffee now on the new Jibo app. 104.7 Triple M.